want to kind of dispute and argue whether Paul wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus or not. And I don't know how you get anything different, because look at the first five words: "For this cause I, Paul." I mean, it kind of don't get any more plain than that. So, and everything that I've studied and read, Paul was writing a letter to the church of Ephesus here, and he had established this church, and man, he's really excited about what God's doing for the Gentiles at this point in time. And Paul was definitely the disciple to the Gentiles. He was the minister unto the Gentiles. And let's start reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 3. It says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Now look, I want you to notice how he says that: "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ." You know, if anybody had a right or had an understanding of what a prisoner was, Paul had that right and had that understanding. He had been put in prison several times during his ministry, and he had been going through some really what we would call terrible things, and God used them in his life for different purposes. But when you look at a prisoner, you know, you think of someone who is no longer under their own will. They're no longer able to make their own decisions. They're no longer able to decide for themselves. And you know what? For you and I to be the Christian that God wants us to be, we really need to become a prisoner of Jesus Christ. We really need to be in a place where we're no longer following our will. We're no longer making our own decisions. We're no longer making the choices that we want to make. But now we consider ourselves a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And not that he has bound us, but he has set us free. And I know that kind of goes against each other. But to be a free prisoner of Jesus Christ, in other words, I have surrendered myself unto God. And I have surrendered myself a prisoner unto Jesus Christ. And because of that, I'm no longer making my choices and making my own decisions, but I'm allowing Christ to make those decisions in my life for me. He says, "I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words." Now, here in verse number 3, Paul mentions a mystery, and here in just a couple of verses, he's going to tell us what that mystery was. You know, a mystery is not always something that's unknown. Sometimes a mystery is an aha moment. You know, here it is. Verse number 4, he says, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men." And notice how he says in verse 5, it was not made known to the sons of men. It's not that it wasn't a plan that was already in place. It was just a plan that God hadn't revealed yet. And you know, I believe in a lot of times in situations in our life that God has a plan. And just because we don't know God's plan, it's a mystery to us. You know, we're going out, "God, I don't know what you're doing. And God, I don't know how you're going to work this for my good. Or God, I don't know what you want me to do." And it seems like a mystery. But I want you to know that it may seem like a mystery to you, but it's not a mystery to God. He says, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Verse number 6, he's going to tell us what this mystery is: "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." So the mystery that Paul is talking about here is that no longer is now just the Jewish people, are they not just the chosen people? But the Bible tells us that salvation was available to the Jews first and then unto the Gentiles, and that we know that because of Jesus Christ coming to this earth and giving his life and shedding his blood for us, that now we are partakers. We are Gentiles. And as you look here, he says, "Now you are partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, by the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ." You are now part of that mystery. Aha! Now we're a part of that. Now that promise is available to us. And it wasn't a mystery. It wasn't something that was unknown to God. It was all part of God's plan. It was all part of his sovereign will. But we just didn't know it to begin with. It wasn't revealed unto men at first. Verse number 7, it says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Or in other words, by the effective working of his power. I'm glad that God has the power tonight to do absolutely anything he wants to. He has the power to work in any situation, to change any situations in our life that he wants to. And by his power and by his foreknowledge, and don't get lost in the foreknowledge of God. If you try to get the understanding that, I mean, sometimes me and my son, we have these great conversations because he's in school, and, you know, in school they're telling him all about this, how this exploded and this happened and this exploded and this happened and this bunch of hogwash and this happened. I mean, that's kind of what they explain it to him in school, and we get to talking about it, and he'll say, well, Dad, they said that because of this, and he's not arguing for it, and we're just having a discussion, because I try to tell him all the time that how would you feel if you were not brought up in church, and you were not led to believe just in faith by the Word of God that everything happened? I said, you've got kids in your class that are in that shape. They don't know the truth. They've not been taught that truth. And I said, and now they're hearing this, and you sit back and you try to rationalize what you're reading it and think logistically, and all this makes sense. But he'll go down and he'll say, yeah, but if that one Adam, and I say, but wait a minute, where'd that one Adam come from? And he'll say, yeah, but if this star or this whatever, if it exploded, wait a minute, where did that come from? You know, I know where it come from. God spoke it all into existence. That's exactly where it come from, and it's because of His power and because of His might. I can always stop the conversation. He'll just look at me and say, Dad, I'm not arguing for it. He said, I'm just talking to you. And I said, well, there ain't no sense in talking to me about it because I know what happened. You don't have to try to convince me of anything. Verse number 7, he says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given me by the effectual working of His power. Verse number 8, unto me who am less than least of all saints. Now, we know that Paul's ministry was awesome and that God used him. And, you know, he could have got a great big head and thought, man, I'm the man. Look at all these people that I have turned to Christ. Look at all these people. But I want you to know, if we want to have the true heart of a servant that God wants us to have, we got to remain humble. Look what he says. Who am less than the least of all saints. Is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Man, I like how it just kind of reaffirmed what we were just talking about. Look at them last few words. Who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, an affirmation that this mystery that Paul was talking about is not something that was a surprise to God. It was not something that just happened and God said, well, how about that? This is what we need to do. Because before it all happened, before God spoke any of this into existence, in the foreknowledge of God, He knew that when He created us, that we would need a Savior, and that was provided through His Son, Jesus Christ. Don't get lost in that. Just believe it by faith. There's some things you just got to say, you know what, I'm going to believe it because God's Word says it. I don't have to understand it. And then one day when God tells us all about it, we can have another aha moment. It can be a mystery for you now. Not that it's an unanswered question, but it's something that God's not given to us yet. Let's continue reading. Verse number 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Now look, Paul is talking to Gentiles here, who the Bible tells us were as dogs. And the Bible, you know, it was salvation was available through the Messiah was promised to the Jews first. Okay, and they're looking for the Messiah. But after the Jews kind of rejected that, then it was offered unto the Gentiles. And the Bible tells us here now that even probably in biblical times here, the Gentiles were looked at as a lower class. And you're offered second. You're offered after this one. And here in verse number 12, he says, in whom now we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. I want you to know tonight that Jesus tells us, He says, you come boldly into the throne of grace. That I have access to God, the creator of everything. The one who holds us in His hands right now. The one who holds tomorrow. The one who took care of me today when I didn't realize it. When I didn't give Him credit for taking care of me today. When I got up this morning and I took for granted the breath of life that He had given me, the strength, I took it for granted, yet He held me. Throughout the day, He took care of me and my family and kept us safe. And He's brought us here together in this place of refuge tonight to be together. And He has all of this. The Bible says you have access to Him to come boldly. That I don't have to come and say, oh, pitiful, pitiful me, please hear my prayer. But I can come boldly and say, God, you have given me the right. You have given me access to you through the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. It's not because of who I am or anything that I've done or what I may have or anything like that. The only reason that I can come boldly to the throne of grace is through and by Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for me on Calvary. But because of that, I don't have to walk around like a little whipped puppy. I don't have to walk around like, oh, I'm not worth anything. We need to remain humble and know that, as Paul did here, he says that I am least of the least of the saints. We need to remain humble, but at the same time, don't walk around and sell yourself short that, oh, I'm nothing and I'm nobody. Because I want to tell you tonight, there was a great price paid for you on the cross of Calvary, that you are somebody, you are worth something, and you can come in confidence with access, and you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Verse number 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Paul says, I know that you've seen my tribulation. I know that you've seen what I've gone through. He says, but I don't want you to faint. I don't want your faith to be weakened because of that. I don't want you to look and say, well, Paul's trying, and yet he's going through tribulation. May I don't know about this God thing. He said, I don't want you to look and say, well, I'm going to feel sorry for Paul because he's going through. He said, I've gone through all this tribulation, but it's for your glory. Have you ever, I know this is not, no, don't sound exactly politically correct when you say it, but think about it for just a minute. Have you ever gained strength by watching somebody else go through a storm? I have. I didn't know he was going to be here tonight, but I've been watching Jason Hooker go through a storm in the last 60 days, and I have gained strength watching him go through a storm. There has been times that I'm sure that he felt like giving up, and this is not a lift up Jason session. This is lift up God for giving Jason strength through the middle of this storm. Because I'm sure that if he told us, and if he was just really raw with the details tonight, that he would tell us that there's been times he thought, what in the world? What's God doing to me? Why am I going through this? But watching him go through this storm, and here I am sometimes trying to think of something to text him and say, man, God still got this. He's texting me and saying, man, I'm a worthless old sinner, but God's good. He's being good to me. He's really showing himself to me. I'm out here in my garage and having church tonight. We're going to move services to Jason's garage here before long because he's having a lot of church in his garage here lately. And I am drawing strength from him because he's in the middle of a storm. And Paul is telling him, he says, in my tribulations, don't look at my trouble. He says, but I want you to glory in my trouble. I want you to gain strength. I want you to know that no matter what you walk through, that God is able to be there with you, that God's going to be able to hold you even in the middle of what you're going through. He says, not to faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Verse number 14, for this cause, I'm going to get to what I really want to talk about here in just a minute. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is telling him about praying for him now. He says, for this cause, because I want you to have glory in my tribulation, because you now have access to the Father. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I want you to look what Paul was praying for the people of the church of Ephesus here. He says, I'm going to pray for you, and not just pray for you, but I'm going to pray for the inner man that's in you. You know, I think a lot of times we spend a fair amount of time praying for physical things in this earth. We spend time praying that God will bless people with health, that he'll bless them with strength, that he'll bless them with finances, that he'll bless them with whatever blessings that you pray for on people. But I want you to know tonight that I think that it's very important, as Paul is teaching us here in Ephesians chapter number 3, that we pray for that inner man, that we pray for that strength, that we pray for the Spirit of God to be strengthened, that we pray for our faith in God to be strengthened, that we pray for our confidence in God to be strengthened, because that's what's going to help us glory in the middle of tribulation. That's what's going to help us as we move forward with our relationship in Jesus Christ. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Does anybody want to know when God's riches of glory and glory runs out? Never. Never. I mean, his riches and glory. The Bible tells us that we're going to walk on streets of gold. So riches and glory, I mean, they go forever and ever. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. That you be rooted and grounded in love. You know what? It don't take but just a minute. You turn on the TV, you can watch news, you can do whatever, and it don't take just a second, and you can see plenty of hate in this world. You can see plenty of, I don't agree with you, so I don't like you. You can see, you got an idea, and that's not my idea, so I don't want anything to do with you. And the Bible tells us right here, he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Get rooted and grounded in love for others, for your love in Christ. And I tell you, that's when we're going to grow the way that God wants us to grow. That's when our inner man is going to be strengthened the way that it should be strengthened. Hey, there's a whole lot of people in this world that I don't agree with. It don't take long. Get on Facebook and start flipping through people's posts and you figure out how ignorant they are just really quick. But that don't mean that I shouldn't love them. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't want to see them saved. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, I preached on trying to not feel hate toward other people. And man, in just the past couple of weeks, I've battled that more than anything in the world. You know, if I preach on something, it seems like it hits me right square between the eyes in just a matter of days. And, you know, as we go through and we be rooted and grounded in love to strengthen that inner man, that verse number 18, that may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Listen to this. Now, this is the love that we need to be rooted and grounded in. Because I was talking about our love, but I'm going to tell you right now, my love fails. My love for people fails. My love for people falls short. Be just straightforward. My love for people's souls is not what it should be. But I want you to look what he's saying right. He says, if you get rooted and grounded in love, verse number 18, this is the love that you need to be rooted and grounded in. Not my love, not your love, but you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. That's the love that we need to be rooted and grounded in, because Christ's love never fails. It never comes up short. It never misses the mark. Christ's love was so much that even as we approach this Easter season that's coming to us, and man, I think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how exciting that must have been to walk out there in the garden that morning. Maybe scared at first, but then exciting as the realization come along. But how exciting it is as we as Christians, as we look back to that empty tomb. And man, how exciting it is to know that Christ didn't stay dead and that Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father today making intercession for you and I. And that at any time that he could step out from the portals of heaven and he could call us home. That's exciting tonight. Man, I'm looking forward to that day. But he says here, in my love, let's look at it one more time. Maybe also to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. I can't even comprehend the love of Christ. That excitement that I feel as I look back to the empty tomb and as I look forward to the future of Christ coming back. But what about when he was hanging there on the cross? Man, that was love. When he decided that, for me, for somebody that is still a sinner. Hey, tonight I'm not perfect. I'm just a sinner saved by grace tonight. That's the only difference in me and the rest of this world that's lost. The only difference is that somehow or another, by the grace of God, I realized that I needed Christ in my life and that I accepted him. And that's the only difference between you tonight and the rest of this world is that we're saved by the grace of God. We're still sinners tonight. We're just sinners saved by the grace of God. But as you look there on that cross, and God knowing that you was going to be what you were before you were saved, that one day that you was going to accept him, and even after that, that you were still going to fall and come short, and that you were still going to make bad choices. The love of Christ, for him to reach down and say, I'm going to love you so much that I'm still going to give my life for you. I'm going to love, man, if you won't ever get the height, the depth, the breadth, and the length of that. You'll never understand that. There's no way that we can comprehend that. Even look right here what Paul says. He says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. There's no way that you can comprehend the love of Christ. There's no way that you can understand how that, you know, that he didn't just give his life for Billy Graham, a good man that became a minister that led thousands to Jesus Christ. He didn't give his life for him, but he also gave him for the man that's going to be in the ditch tonight, hungover. For the man that's going to go home tonight and be rough with his family. Now, see, we don't even like to think about that because we can't comprehend the kind of love that Christ had. Because I want to go beat that guy with a stick. That's what I want to do. because for some reason I'm holier than them. But God's love and Christ's love that passes my knowledge loved him so much that when he was hanging there on the cross, he wasn't just thinking about you, Danny. He wasn't just thinking about you, Bobby. But he was thinking about that man, that woman, that sinner. That's who he was thinking of. And he says, I love you so much that I'll still do it. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You get somewhere and you get to feeling sorry for yourself, and you get to feeling like life's not fair, and you get to feeling like, man, nobody cares about me, and you get to feeling like there's no hope, there's everything's doom and gloom, and oh, they're going to take my guns, and this party's going to do that, and this party's going to do that, and man, this world's in a bad shape, and man, we're going to be taxed today. I mean, you can get down in a bad place, but if you ever get to where you can almost, the Bible says us here that we're not going to, but if you can get to where you can get some of this understanding of the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of God's love and Jesus Christ's love for us, I believe you'll be filled with the fullness of God, and all that won't matter anymore. I don't care. We'll get to the place where, whatever, it's going to be what it's going to be. Now, I'm not saying don't stand. The Bible tells us to stand. But I'm going to tell you this, that it'll get to the place where you go, okay, what's going to happen is going to happen. And I tell you what's going to happen. One day I'm going to get to see my Jesus, and I'm going to stand with him, and all this won't matter no more. That's what's going to happen. That's the fullness of God. That's the happiness that we'll get if we can get to this place where we're trying to understand the love of Christ. Verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Whatever you're asking God for, you're not asking for enough. Well, I ask him for $1 million. Well, that might be the problem. But if we'll get sincere with God and ask God for strength for this inner man, ask him for help in understanding this love, ask him for help in our Christian life. He says, and he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You see, so many times we want to claim that scripture. Man, James made a comment the other night when we was talking, and he was talking about, are you serving the God who is or the God who you want to be? I believe that's the way you said it, brother. And man, it hit me right in the head. We want to claim certain things when we're searching for that God that we want to be, that good God that's always going to take care of every situation. But sometimes that's not the God who is. The God who is might be that God of all comfort, the God of all peace, the God that's helping you get this fullness. And we're looking right here tonight, and he says, but he is able to do above and beyond, do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Verse number 21. This is my goal for my life, my goal for your life. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I tell you what, as Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus here, and he was praying for them, and he was talking to them about having access to the Father and just worship. I mean, I believe that in this prayer, he was more or less worshiping. I believe he had some of that fullness of God going on right here. The thing of it is we just need to turn all of our glory back to God and say, God, it's all yours. It's not me. It's not you. It's all God's. So tonight you say, well, I don't really understand what the whole point of this scripture was. I want us to rejoice in the fact that if everything else in your life is going wrong, if everything else in your life is going right, know that Christ loves you so much that there's no possible way you can ever understand it. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I want to thank you that you love me, even though I'm very unlovable sometimes. God, I want to thank you that you have patience with me when, God, I step out on my own. And God, that you always have mercy and grace and forgiveness for me when I take turns that I shouldn't take. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help us, God, to be able to try to search for the understanding of this love that you gave us, God. And I believe that as we begin to understand bits and pieces of this love that Christ had for us, I believe that we'll have the fullness of God. And God, I believe that you'll get glory out of our lives. God, I pray most of all, God, as we come together in this church at different times, God, I pray that you'll continue to draw lost people to this place. God, I pray that you'll continue to have mercy on them, help them to see their need for a Savior before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.